Let us pray. Holy One, blow through our hearts so that we can hear your voice in the world in which we live. Amen. At the beginning of Advent every year in this church, a number of different people decorate. Gail sets up Christmas trees in the lobby and the narthex. The youth put up the sock tree in the sanctuary. Kathy and Dorothy and others put up wreaths and other things. And Stuart and Nadine, who are not here today, come in and stand on ladders and put up the nativity figures that you can see around you. Mary and Joseph set out on their journey from Nazareth, which was over here last week. And they've made it this far. They get a little closer each week to Bethlehem. It's actually about 85 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I didn't try to convert that to kilometers, sorry. They likely did set out about 10 days or more before they actually had to be there for the census. We always show them with a donkey for Mary to ride, but it's possible, actually, that they both had to walk, even though Mary was pregnant, because they weren't that rich. So they might walk 12 miles a day or more. The beginning of a journey that will take Mary and Joseph far beyond Bethlehem will take them to parenthood, one of the greatest journeys. It will take them to Egypt as refugees from Herod. It will take them to the doors of the temple searching for their 13-year-old boy who ran away in order to go to the temple and argue with the priests about God. It will take them past all the usual markers of family life, past bar mitzvah and to adulthood. And it will take them to times of terror and literally to the gates of hell. But it will also take them to hillsides flocked with people seeking something more. Freedom from fear and the courage to embrace the possibilities of life. Can you imagine them preparing for the journey? Tying on sandals, picking up bundles, making sandwiches for the road, filling the water skin. The simple and most basic things. Now, if they prepared like me, they'd probably get partway down the road before Mary had to run back for something. And in that moment, they likely think that the end of their journey will be Bethlehem. Just a couple of weeks on the road and register and turn around and come back again. Now, the journey ends up being longer and harder and more fun and more interesting and more incredible and more terrible than they ever expected. From the very first time Mary knew she would have a child, she spoke of the child as the agent who would raise up the lowly and cast kings from their thrones. The child for whom they journey is the one who will call for justice, toss the moneylenders from the temple, speak in equality with women, share meals with strangers, and speak and share across lines, forbidden lines of race and culture that divided the whole world in which they lived. There is no easy road to freedom. In about 1932, two people set out on a different journey. It started out as a mother took her son to school. And although they were important people in their homeland, both mother and father were illiterate. Mother was a devout Christian, and she took her son, Rola Halala, to a Methodist school. She had to leave him there in the care of relatives, and it was many years before she saw him again. He was baptized there. Nelson Mandela. And he, too, became a devout Christian, taught Sunday school, led children. In those first steps in the Bible classes, that he himself taught were the beginnings of the journey towards freedom, the words he read about justice for all. And just as South Africa grew more and more oppressive, as more and more laws were passed to restrict the access of Africans to education, jobs, travel, housing, even to the simplest of family gatherings, young Nelson Mandela became more and more and more politically active. The very first speech Nelson Mandela gave began with these words, "There is no easy road to freedom." And after a lifetime of struggle, participation in violence, imprisonment, when Nelson Mandela was released after 27 years in prison, he used those words again. Even in those first heady days as apartheid was overthrown, he reminded the people, there is no easy road to freedom. And this week after Nelson Mandela's death, all over Canada, First Nations people and residential school survivors traveled great distances to sign the cards of condolence that will be sent to South Africa. For the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that Nelson Mandela commissioned in South Africa has become the model for Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission here, a beginning of a journey from oppression to hope. And we know, too, from all that has gone on before that there is no easy road to freedom. But there is something else that Nelson Mandela said that we should also remember. He said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." There are times when true reconciliation seems impossible. There are days when I look at the world and I despair, and I become angry and fearful and resentful. But I know that the journeys that take us to glory start with us putting on our sandals and leaving the house. So today we celebrate journeys. About 500 years before Mary and Joseph put on their sandals and left their house, the people of Israel were forced onto a different journey. The forces of Babylon laid siege to the nation, and they won. They tore down the walls of Jerusalem and took the people away. They marched them on the long, long road to Babylon, into exile. It wasn't a journey of their own choosing. It was a journey with a lot of pain, and it began in violence. The prophet Isaiah wrote to the people in Babylon from his visions, and we read part of that vision today. "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." Isaiah told the people in exile many things. He wrote to them to put down roots in that foreign place and prosper. He told them always to work for the good of the communities where they lived. He told them never forget, no matter what happens, that they are God's people. And the people did prosper in Babylon, even in exile. And they worked for the good of the cities where they lived. And not only did they never forget their God, but it was in that time of exile that the people gathered together the bits and pieces of scripture, wrote down the oral traditions and the great stories, retold the stories of the Exodus, gathered together all of these works, and their scholars and the prophets wrote, and from that work, even while in the midst of bondage, they gathered together those first books of the Bible, what we call the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets and the Writings, so that when they returned to Jerusalem in singing and joy and rebuilt the temple and recreated a nation, they brought with them a gift of surpassing wonder that we still hold every day in this place and every day in our homes, that Bible. And even in the midst of violence and evil, in the midst of homesickness and exile, when the people despaired for their lives and believed they were separated from everything that was holy, God was there. That their lives would have meaning that is still important for us today seemed unimaginable and impossible. As Mandela says, it seems impossible until it's done. When Joseph strapped on his sandals and picked up his bundle and left the house in Nazareth, he thought they were going to Bethlehem. But the journey that began in a small house in a war-ravaged village in Palestine is remembered still today, 2,000 years later, as the beginning of something absolutely amazing. It is a tenet of our faith that the journey that began that day is not over. It began in impossibility. It continued in impracticality. It continues today in improbability. What is it today that is your heart's desire that seems completely impossible? Now, God does not promise that which will happen is exactly what you wish for, for that would be a dangerous thing. But so often the journey leads us to something we never even imagined. There is no easy road to freedom. There is no easy road for South Africa. And yet the children who were taken to dance outside Mandela's house this past week are called the freeborn. Those whose lives have possibilities as yet unimagined. There is no easy road to reconciliation, but I have seen reconciliation in families where such a thing had not seemed possible before. There is no easy road to peace, but every act for peace keeps us from being overwhelmed by evil. Each of us put on our shoes today to begin a journey into an unexpected life, and it won't be easy. And so our preparation for the unexpected must be a preparation for hope and not despair. Our preparation for what is to come must be in our experience and in our memories of grace. This is the purpose to tell these stories again and again, to remind us that grace lives with us in the darkness and leads us through the rain and is with us in exile where we unexpectedly find ourselves. And that it may be that grace that inspires a seemingly small action that can set the world on a new course, though we ourselves may never see its ending. So if you walk these next days of Advent, remember that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, when an ordinary man and woman set one foot before the other and began living into grace. May this be true also in your own lives. Amen.